Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we are bringing you guys a recap of the poor start that America had in the start of the Liga MX as the Tricampeonato looks a little bit more difficult than maybe we anticipated. Or maybe that's just me being a little bit more of a pessimist. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then, of course, we'll talk transfer rumors and get you guys ready for Friday's matchup against Querétaro as América debuts in the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes. And joining me today to talk all things Club América, we're rolling back the time. And it's going to be none other than everyone's beloved cowboy, none other than Mr. Dylan Jimenez, a.k.a. Cowboy Dan. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It feels good to be back. I know I've been gone for a little bit, but, you know, life's just been busy and a little hectic. So here we are, but I'm glad to be back, man. And, you know, talk a little bit about this first game and, you know, season underway now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're happy to have you on. We know that you're more difficult to get on camera than the president himself. So we're happy to have you. And, let's talk America. Let's talk about Las Águilas del América and exactly what went wrong. And is it too early to start panicking, Dylan, after the result against San Luis?
Yeah, to me, in my opinion, I really is. I mean, considering the fact that we're going to go 5 weeks and then it's Leagues Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
So go 5 weeks, you know, Leagues Cup. And I just for me, you know, whenever the game started and watching back those highlights, I hated how it started at 6 because I had to work and missed the first half. But going back and rewatching the game too a little bit, I don't think you could have asked for a better start really from this team. I mean, you score within 5 minutes, but then 2 minutes later, or you know, you give up that goal for Atlético to equalize, and I was just like, man, like it's gonna be one of those games. Really, and it kind of was one of those games, and you know, the second half doesn't start off the way you wanted it to, and you know, while it is disappointing and while it is frustrating, obviously the panic button is not needed right now. Whenever there's still a lot left of the season, and plus still some players returning from international duty.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing you need to highlight, right? Is the fact that you have all these absences that you have to kind of take in consideration. The fact that you haven't brought in all of your reinforcements, right? It's a long transfer window. We talked about it. Doesn't close until September 3rd. But I still think America on paper was meant to be the favorite, even with the absences that we most notably talked about in the last podcast. The frustrating thing for me was you kind of had a sense of this game slowly but surely deteriorated for America as soon as that second goal came in for San Luis, right? And you talked about it perfectly. You couldn't start off much better than with a beautiful pass on a dime from Fidalgo to Henry Martin. And the finish was exceptional. And I think that's the one thing we could probably highlight is the fact that Henry scores. And one thing you want is for Henry to start getting, you know, warmed up in the season like that. And so for him to score early on and hopefully he can continue that traction, then that's going to be good news for America. After that, though, I mean, everyone else was really below par. I mean, the first goal that we concede, Nestor Araujo, I think, can easily clear that. Can easily clear that. He decides to let the ball bounce and then, for some reason, gets bodied by the San Luis attacker. And then in the second goal, Emilio Lara, when he's pressing up so high, gets megged and then just kind of, I don't know, he just kind of just stands still and then he starts tracking back a little bit. But then after that, Nestor Araujo nor Ramon Juarez do anything to kind of step up or try to challenge, close the space down. And then, of course, the shot, which beats Cota. I felt like after that goal went in for San Luis, the second one, it was kind of game, match, set, and done. And it didn't really feel like America had answers. And I don't know if everyone else will agree with that, but it felt like Jardinet felt that way as well. And so we just decided to chuck on youngsters in order to kind of fulfill this 1,000-minute rule that we need to comply with by the end of the season.
Yeah, no, and I think, too, in the second half, it kind of felt like the tendency was starting to go a little bit more to the left through Zendejas, and, you know, it wasn't really working all too much, in my opinion. I think really the only clear moments I think we had that second half that I can remember off the top of my head was the Henry Chilena, and then I think Chicote had a shot, too, but other than that, you know, it's just not really that much from this side when it comes to quality chances. You know, it lacked a lot. And obviously, like we kind of said, I'm sure, you know, there's some players that are like, you know, coming from Copa. And then obviously you still haven't really got all of the festivals that you needed that this club's still looking at. But those aren't necessarily excuses because you're right. You know, on paper, this team should have won. This team should have, I think getting the win would have made a bit more of a statement to start the season. And I think we kind of lost that too. And so I'm just trying to see where this team now goes from here come Friday. Not necessarily trying to push the panic button, but, you know, a win now is really needed more than anything. A win Saturday was needed, you know, to kind of make a statement on the season as this team tries to go for 3 in a row.
Yeah, and the thing is, obviously, when you're America, all eyes are on you. And even more so now that you're a bicampeón and you're making a ruckus saying that you want that tricampeonato. So even more pressure, more eyes are on you. And for you to come out as flat as you did against San Luis and to kind of get the result that you did, I mean, it's borderline embarrassing just because of, you know, the weight that this club has. But again, it's one of those things where America has no luxury in saying, oh, an excuse here, an excuse there. It's, you know, even if we field all under 18 players, there's still that expectation that, okay, you're America, you need to go out there, you need to perform, and you need to win. Now, I know that we're maybe being a little bit heavy critical, and I think that's due to the fact that I spoke to Christian about it last week, was how tempered should our expectations be for the season, and most specifically for these first four matches before the League's Cup break? Because I think that there's this hubris around the Americanismo that, you know, we are unstoppable and we are unbeatable. And to even fathom that an Atlético San Luis can come in and take 3 points away from us is ridiculous, right? And I think now we're seeing the realization of it in where, okay, maybe we do need to temper it down a little bit. Maybe we do need to be a little bit more, I wouldn't say cautious, but more realistic in that this tricampeonato, if it comes, is not going to come as perfect as we all envision it in our heads. Because yes, when America has a full squad and hopefully we splash the cash on a good reinforcement for that Quiñones vacancy, then you're thinking, okay, we are unstoppable, quote unquote. But I think you need all those pieces to gel together. And it's not as simple as just saying, you know, XYZ is going to come in and, you know, problem solved. I think that there's going to be a lot more into this. And I think these first four games are going to be a little bit difficult for America. It's not going to be so easy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree, you know, especially I think obviously just the Quiñones departure alone, obviously this team was going to regress. And I think you expect that too, because there are going to be players that leave, you know, regardless, you know, whether it would have been Quiñones or not, some players are going to leave. So you're going to see some type of regression, I think, in the team. So, but at the same time, you still got a good handful of players that went on this Bicampeonato run, and, you know, that want to, you know, go for a three-peat too. So, it's kind of hard to see that, you know, a good chunk of these players, like I said, to hear, and then, you know, just to come out flat, you know, not necessarily. I know it's like you said, it's still a long transfer window, but not see the players come in sooner is a bit of a frustration for me too. And I know I voiced that to y'all, you know, in our group chat and everything. But it's just overall, like I said, like we said, just frustrating. I think obviously that a win was needed, especially the a clean win to send a statement to the league too, that, you know, even if Quiñones left. We had a couple players left, and we regressed a little bit. I think a win would have sent a message that we're still here to compete and go for another title.
Absolutely. And I think we should have competed, especially with the arsenal that we had up front. I mean, granted, no Quiñones, right, and no Diego Valdez, but still, you had the likes of Sendejas, Henry, Javito, who looked amazing against Tigres, and now, again, does the typical Javito thing and regresses, and now we have another game where we're questioning, you know, how good is he going to be for us this season? It just feels frustrating, right? I think Eric Sanchez comes in the second half, and he does exactly what you expect him to do. He's moving the ball a little bit more. There's a little bit more fluidity, but, I mean, it feels like it's going to take him a minute or two to kind of adapt into the system and be that creative player that we want him to be. And then the question is, now that Diego Valdez has returned, where do you play him and Chiquito Sanchez, right? So it's going to be a frustrating couple of games for Jardine in order to figure out exactly how he wants to plant this system. But one thing's for sure. I mean, we need that Quiñones replacement ASAP. And players like Javito need to step up and need to have that consistency. I think Christian mentioned it last week. There's no newbie season for him anymore. There's no adaptation period. You've won a league title now with the team. You've played minutes. You've seen and done all these things. So I think there's going to be a lot of expectation on him. And so hopefully against Querétaro, he can show up and showcase as to why he is the player that we can all hope that he can be. So, but yeah, frustration all around. I think this was a game in where, you know, América just lacked answers. And the youngsters didn't really bring a lot either. I mean, you know, I think Diego Reyes, with like the 5 minutes that he had on the pitch, was impressive. And then two of those minutes were eaten up by a yellow card foul that he gave to a San Luis player. So it's not much to go off. And I think what was his name? Dagbort?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say Espinosa because that's his last name. Espinosa on the right-hand side is looked promising. I think he's a much better competition on that right-hand side for Kevin and Israel Reyes than Emilio Lara. And I think it's time that we find a home for Emilio and Néstor Araujo. So,
definitely.
We'll see what happens.
That's the one thing when I was rewatching the game and everything, I was like, Néstor Araujo just kind of showed he doesn't need to be in the Medica jersey anymore.
Well, he should have never been in mostly any jersey right now. I think he should consider retiring. And this is nothing offensively to him, but I just feel like his glory days are way, way behind him. And the constant injuries have just proven that, you know, it's slowing him down even much more. So it's unfortunate, but I guess it is what it is. And we got ourselves in a situation for giving him that long of a contract.
Yeah. So. And I think here we are now wanting Igor to come back now.
Yeah. Look, I'm not the biggest Igor fan, but boy, did I miss him on Saturday, especially in those clearances, because, you know, Igor's not someone that let himself get bodied so easily. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll talk about it during the transfer segment, but it looks like he's all wrapped up in order to return as an América player. So we're interested to see how that contract looks, to be honest. But talking about the San Luis game, I think overall just a disappointment. It's a poor start to the season, but I see nothing but optimism in the Americanismo, especially over on Twitter. It seems like, you know, I don't know how much you believe in superstitions, Dylan, but it seems that the case is that whenever we lose the first league game, the title seems to be falling afterwards. It happened last year in the start of the Apertura. And it started, I think, what was it, in 2018 when we lost in the Clausura with Piojo. And now, lo and behold, hopefully América can make it 3 times in a row in order to secure that three-peat. So,
and I guess, Chris was in Mexico last year.
Yeah, and Chris was in Mexico. So Chris is in Mexico right now as well, so that's why he's not on the podcast. So fingers crossed. I don't want to press the panic button yet, and I think it's very unrealistic to do so in such a short stage of the season. I think that we just got to give it time. And that's the unfortunate thing about Liga MX is they don't give you much time, right? América didn't have much of a preseason. América just kind of had vacations and boom, straight back into it. So these next upcoming games are going to be kind of like a preseason. And then the friendlies against Chelsea and Aston Villa as well.
Yeah. And then League's Cup too. I mean, like I said, it goes to show too, like, you know, these next few games, especially in league play, is going to be very crucial to where we stand whenever the league starts up again after League's Cup.
And I think that's why it was so important when we were looking over these next four games. Me and Christian, we talked about a potential of having 12 points, and that wasn't out of the realm of possibility. Now that's not an option for you as America, right? Now you have to hope for 9 points and hope that that will carry you up in the table long enough for that when the League's Cup break happens, you know, you're coming back into a favorable position because, you know, now you dropped some three very important points and where you thought America should have gotten them. Now you're looking at that Tigres game and thinking that was our one kind of wiggle room to kind of maybe drop a point in here and there. But now that looks like a must-win game as well.
No, 100%. But like I said, time will tell. It's just one of those things, like who's going to be fit to play, especially when they come back, like Valdez, when he comes back, is we going to see him off the bench? You know, is Fidalgo going to start there? And then, like you said, well, we have Chiquito too. So who do you kind of put in there at that moment too?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And we'll talk about that when we pre-week it. I think that there's some interesting rotations that could be made in the midfield. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. But yeah, America starts off the Apertura with a 2-1 defeat to Atlético San Luis. And now hopefully nothing but uphill luck for America. So we'll see what happens there. So with that mentioned, Dylan, anything else you want to talk about in regards to this game, or should we move on to the transfer segment?
I think we kind of covered it all, really. I mean, just you know, a little disappointing, you know, still on paper, you know, that's a game we should win, but you know, here we are now.
Here we are indeed. Absolutely. But all right, let's move on over to the transfer segment of things. And this is what I got. We alluded to it earlier, right? I have Igor Lichnowsky, almost but official that he is returning. Apparently, he made a comment in a magazine saying that he was going to spend a lot more time in an America jersey, kind of alluding to the fact that he is 100% staying. Looks like all the reporters are saying that it's a done deal. Now it's just a matter of America officially announcing the fact that he's coming in on a permanent move rather than a loan spell from Tigres. Your thoughts on that, Dylan? I mean, how do you like it? Do you like the Igor signing, or do you think that this is one of those where I think we need to see exactly what that contract looks like and then we can kind of make a better assessment of it?
You know, I think it's funny because when Igor came, you know, especially from you, Ivan, you know, you loved the guy because, you know, looking at the options we had then, and then toward the end of, you know, this past season, you, like, and you even said it just now a while ago, you're like, I'm not the biggest Igor fan, but you kind of were whenever he first joined us, realizing what we had available and realizing that he was obviously the better option. But I think even looking at this now, I mean, obviously we don't have Cáceres back yet. Him and Igor were a good duo for us too. Not saying Ramon can't play there too. I mean, I think he always has a solid turnouts whenever he plays. But you know, you're looking at a center back too who gave you, you know, a championship, who helps you secure that too. And I think in times too, whenever, because we always sit here and we're so critical of the defense, but in reality, you know, it's a whole lot better than we make it out to be. And I think that's I think Igor is a player that we need back, you know, especially that's where we're going to, especially if this is the direction we're moving in. You know, I really like this, especially in being a permanent move too, instead of just a loan.
Yeah, look, the Igor situation is funny because I clearly remember when the news broke that America was bringing him in last minute transfer window deadline in last season's Apertura. And we all were scratching our heads thinking, like, what is this move? Like, this is not a good deal for America. Like, why would you even bring him? Then we know that it's a 6-month contract, that it was kind of like last minute panic because we had lost Cáceres to an injury. We didn't really trust Néstor Araujo, which I think was injured at the time as well. So we all were kind of scratching our heads thinking, like, you know, prove us wrong in a sense, but we don't really like it. And lo and behold, he did. He proved us wrong. He was sensational in the first game against Chivas and then kind of just cemented himself as the starter from there on out. Brought two championships, technically three, because automatically we win the campeón. The campeón is with the bicampeonato. So it's not like his resume doesn't speak for itself. I think it's just there's instances in the game and there's moments in matches last season where I think he's cost us a goal or two. Which obviously no one wants to see that, but it's overall, I think he's a very well-rounded player for us. Now, my thing is Igor Lichnowsky is coming in on a permanent deal, but he's going on the wrong side of 30 already. Now, not to say that that's a terrible thing because he's still in his early 30s and in Liga MX, that's not the worst age to be at. But we've seen it with the likes of Emmanuel Aguilera. We've seen it with the likes of Bruno Valdez. We've seen it with all these players that, you know, they reach a peak and slowly but surely after turning that age, they slowly start to deteriorate. And I'm not saying that's going to be the case for Igor, but I'm also not going to sit here and idly say that, oh yeah, he's for sure going to be as rock solid as possible for the next 3-4 years. I just don't think that's viable. So I think if America does sign him, I think it would be hopefully a 2-year deal. And then after that, you slowly start kind of vetting him out and looking for a more younger replacement, you know? Which Cáceres was a gamble, which took a while for it to actually work out. But look at what he is right now. So I think that maybe we can do something similar, especially because he takes up a foreigner spot. I think that's the big deal for me, right? It's it's you have those very limited, and to spend it on a 30-plus center back that has kind of ruffled the leaves a little bit because of the whole, you know, podcast dissect the situation. I don't know. But again, it's not to say that I don't want Igor here. I think he's more than welcome, and I think he's more than earned his flowers and his stay at America. I just don't know if he's the right player to lead us going forward, because we talk about a dynasty team, right? And a dynasty is usually is a team that can compete for 2, 3, 4, even 4 seasons going strong. So, and he's at a core foundation of the formation, which is center back. So,
yeah. Well, first off, I want to backtrack. You brought Bruno Valdez in, and I want to say I think it was the ACL, not his age, that really screwed him up when it came to that.
Yeah,
and,
that too.
You know, yeah, and but to be honest, and how old is Igor going to be? Is he 31?
31 or 30? 31. Let me double check.
Well, even regardless, you know, I understand where you're coming from, you know, and when you talk about his age, you know, and can he keep that form, you know, especially through that contract, you know, with him and everything. But I think when you look at it, you know, you got to look at the key dynamic he brings. You got to realize that he's won Jardines' trust. You know, he's a key part in that defense. And so why would you lose something, especially when here recently, like you know, we've done nothing in that sense, you know, to even replace that, to even compensate that loss, if Igor was not going to come back. I mean, I think the way the transfer mill has been for the club, and like I've said it to you on the chat and everything, it's just, you know, to me so far, the Cota signing is the only thing that's been sensible, you know, even though a lot of players have been linked and everything with us, nothing else has made sense. And we don't have no other center back right now that's really linked with us besides Igor, which looks like he's going to be coming back, like you said, just waiting for the club to make it official. But I'm 100% behind this, you know, I obviously want to be right, but you know, if I'm wrong, you know, hope somebody comes back and clips this and calls me out on it. But, you know, it's just, what else is the club doing, you know, for this position? You know, it has done nothing for this position, you know, besides bringing back Igor.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're banking on. Absolutely. Yeah. And while you're 100%, I'm going to be at a moderate 75%. I'll leave it at that. A moderate 75%. But yeah, looks like
if they were linked to somebody else and, you know, it doesn't happen and all we get is Igor, then of course, like, you know, then, you know, I'm probably with you at 75-70%, but nothing else has happened, you know, yet when it comes to that position and what the club wants to do with it.
Yeah, I think the club's looking at it and being like, you know what, it's working. Why fix it?
So, yeah, why fix it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It ain't broke.
Exactly. So that's the Igor situation. From that point on, what I have here is just a rumor mill of players that I think are being recycled in Liga MX, and for some reason, they're being thrown our way. The Alan Cervantes thing has taken traction with the past couple of days. It looks like America, from reports, are saying that he's 100% confirmed. I'm hesitant about those reports, but Alan Cervantes, center defensive mid, that's a third center defensive mid to add to this team, right behind Jonathan Dos Santos, Santi Naveda, and Jesus Ivan Rodriguez. So that would make him the fourth center defensive mid. Dylan, what are we doing?
That's what I'm saying. What are we doing? like it doesn't make, like I said, like the Cota signing has so far been the only thing. Nothing else seems sensible what this club is doing. Do you not just realize, like, we just sold Quiñones and Zendejas was, you know, extend him, you know, and then sure, I mean, he's there, but it's just who else is there? Like the left wing is obviously a big need right now. And especially Chava gone, you know, but Chava, yeah, that's all I could say. But, you know, it's obvious, like, this, like, the board's just not, it just doesn't really seem like it's interested in just seeing, like, we need to replace this thing. They just look at a player and say, oh, this guy, and let's try to buy him.
He's available.
Yeah, he's available. Let's splash the cash.
That one, yeah, that's the one that next to Jesus Ivan Rodriguez makes no sense to me. It's nothing but depth. And I had mentioned to you guys, it feels like another Mono Osuna, like,
God.
Like, who's the other one that ended up going to play with Chivas and the Necaxa? Fernando Gonzalez, I think. Also Gonzalez. Yeah. There you go. Also Gonzalez. Okay. It's just these signings that make little to no sense, that just, like, you have players there that can play. We have Miguel Ramirez. I know he's not a center defensive mid, but he can play in the midfield. And you have Santi Naveda, who we all just want to push him to see him kind of succeed in America. But he somehow is being overshadowed by these very mid, subpar players that have played in other teams that for some reason are getting a better look at than the actual players that we have at our disposal. And where we don't have to spend money in order to bring them in, because you already have them in-house. So, yeah, I don't want to believe that this is Harinet being like, you know what? I could really use an Ivan Rodriguez and an Alan Cervantes to really, really push the team over the line and make it as epic. I don't know where these signings are coming from. I don't know who's greenlighting these, because it kind of falls in line with kind of the Rodrigo Aguirre situation as well, right? I mean, he seems a little bit more sensible, right? We say that he could be that Cabecita Rodriguez replacement. He's a little bit more versatile, that can play on the wings if needed, can be a striker. He has a goal or two, right? I know he hasn't scored in a year's time with Monterrey, but, you know, with Necaxa, he was scoring left, right, and center. That one is a little bit more sensible, but there's other situations that are just kind of mind-boggling and thinking, why on earth would we go out of our way to spend, even if it's just $10, don't even spend it. Like just keep your money in the pocket. There's so much more better options than what we're being presented to at the moment.
Yeah, and like I said too, in the group, I mean, like, I'm not asking for freaking bombas here. I mean, I'm just asking for something, you know, sensible. I mean, especially with, you know, the Quiñones, so with how much we got, you know, out of that, you know, especially letting some players off the books, and, you know, we can definitely use that. So, like, we have the money, you know, but I'm not asking to go splash cash, you know, just make something sensible, and, you know, let's run this back. I mean, you know, I still think we got the team to do it, but are we building it? Not really either. I think they just kind of contradicted myself a little bit too, but we still have a core group of the players, is what I'm trying to say, to go back and do it, but we're just not reinforcing that spot, especially on the left side.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what that's going to develop to at the end of the day. Like, America needs a reinforcement, and they say that America is for sure going to bring in a replacement for Quiñones. How long is that going to take? I'm not too sure. There is this rumor going around that there is this big signing coming to America, And I've seen some people put, like, he might be Dutch. So the only Dutch player that I would imagine could come to America with a big name that would be feasible would be Memphis Depay, just because he's a free agent right now. But, I mean, those wages would be ridiculous. I don't think he would. I don't think we would want to spend all our Quiñones money on wages for a player. So it's just how sensible, like you mentioned, is this front office being when bringing in the reinforcements. Now, we know how Santiago Baños can work, and ever since he got that help in the front office, things have been going a lot better. But it feels like we're back in those times, Dylan, where we're just like, we're going to have to weather the storm until like close to the end of the transfer window. And by then, you're knee deep into the season, and really, you can't expect the player that's coming in to just kind of take off right away.
Right, which is the frustrating part too. And like, I know you said it, and I know Chris told me at first too. I was like you know, it's still September, the transfer window, there's plenty of time. But again, like you said, it feels like too that this team is going to wait till the last minute to buy somebody, and it's not going to make sense. About 8 times out of 10, it doesn't ever work out, and especially for a team that just basically won 3 trophies, you know, in this calendar year, you would think, you know, we would want that. You would want to keep reinforcing this team in the sensible ways, and especially market to the players that you want to bring in, like, hey, like, you know, we just won 3 trophies in a year. Come win a third one with us in the league. You know, that and none of this is making sense to me, and that's what the frustrating part is.
Same. And the other rumor is, right, that Victor Dávila could potentially be that Quiñones replacement. Which I know for some of you guys it makes sense. It's a sensible signing. For me, I don't think that's a Quiñones-esque move. I never really saw Victor Dávila like that, and I still don't. I mean, I've seen him in Copa America. He wasn't flashy. He wasn't outstanding for me. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see
how things develop. He takes up a foreigner spot.
He takes a foreigner spot as well. And look, I know that Quiñones' replacement was going to take a foreigner spot regardless, but I think you need to be sensible with these because, you know, with this new rule coming in next year that, you know, these foreigners need to be kind of the creme de la creme, that they need to be these highly rated foreigners. So, you know, America needs to vet these very well. So, I don't know. It's frustrating right now, the transfer market for America, and not so much because we haven't brought in anyone, but I think it's the names that are being linked with right now, which is the frustrating thing about it, because you're expecting a Memphis Depay, a Griezmann-esque type of a player being correlated with America, not an Alan Cervantes. Yeah, a Jeremy Menez. There you go, like that type of player, but not an Alan Cervantes, like, you know. Oh. And stop it with these ex-Chivas players, please. I'm sick and tired of them coming to America. Like, there's no need for it. Absolutely no need for it. So it's frustrating, but I guess it is what it is in that sense. And so that's America's transfer window so far. And I guess nothing else to do but just keep going.
Just sit and wait.
Yeah. Sit and wait. But all right. I think that does it for me in transfer rumors. I might be missing someone. I'm not too sure. Do you have anybody that I forgot?
No, I think we've hit it all on the head right there. You said Davila, you said Cervantes, Aguirre. Yeah, that's all I can think of top of my head. Yeah.
That's what I got as well. I think it's just, it is what it is, I guess, in that sense.
Like you said, no, it's just playing the waiting game, which nobody wants to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely nobody wants to do, but oh well. All right, let's move on now. I mean, from transfer news to club news, I don't have anything specific, but the fact that America's going to be debuting into the Ciudad de los Deportes, which will be interesting. We'll talk about that. What's your thought on that, Dylan? How do you think that that's going to fare on the players having no Estadio Azteca for 2 years?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they play like at least one game there last season? But yes. Then they're But then they were like, we're delaying the construction for that Azteca, and they're not playing there the rest of the season.
Correct, correct. They played there against who was it that we played against in Real Esteli? So we played against Real Esteli in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. The second leg was at the Ciudad de los Deportes. And the reason why was because Karol G had a concert at the Estadio Azteca. So the Bichota took took preference that time, which is fine. I guess it was a Wednesday game. It was actually on Valentine's Day. I remember clearly. So
oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
So yeah, that's gonna be our new home.
That's. I mean, I understand, like, you know, the construction's needed. I mean, obviously the World Cup, but I just hate it too at the same time because it's not the Azteca. So yeah, I understand it was a midweek game, but I mean, it also seemed like too, like the stadium wasn't full for that game. So that's kind of the little worrying part too. But like I said, maybe it changes, you know, because, you know, the game's going to be Friday, but, you know, compared to a weekday game. But, you know, that's kind of the one thing I'm a little worried about.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that game, right? Because America's debuting at home, quote unquote, against Querétaro. And weirdly enough, it's on a Friday night. Dylan, was the last time you saw America play on a Friday night as a home game?
It was the last time I played in Tijuana.
Yeah, that's the last time you saw America play on a Friday, but... It feels like America's been demoted to like the Viernes Futbolero in with like Puebla and Mazatlán and all those teams. It looks like we've been thrown into that mix because we lost against Atlético San Luis. That isn't the case, because you know it kind of was already programmed like that. I would have to see if there was a scheduling conflict between Cruz Azul and America home games, and that's why America needed to be pushed to Friday. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So America's debuting in the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes against Querétaro on Friday. That's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central, and then 9 Eastern. So typically a normal start if it was a Saturday night, but it's now a Friday night. And we mentioned it, Dylan, a must-win game for André Jardiné, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like must-win game, especially after you dropped this past Saturday, especially, you know, with League Cup right around the corner. And I think too, like, you know, on paper, you know, this is a game that this team should win.
Yes, and it feels like we've been in this situation before, right? On paper, must-win match. It's one of those things in where you're just like, okay. Go out there, perform, and give us the 3 points. Is this going to be another one of those games where we suffer to get said 3 points? Because it always seems that we find a way to complicate our lives against these teams where we think, oh, we should win. But all in all, we end up finding a way to kind of trip over our own shoe.
Yeah, no, I mean... I think if you have this is what's the tricky part, because I mean, like I said, like it was a great start, you know, it's the start that you wanted to start the season, you know, especially with one of your in the club's history, your top goal scorer, you know, Henry Martin scoring, you know, just the beautiful goal. But you know, but after that, if you fall flat, you know, if you don't respond, especially if you do slip though and give up the goal, then you know I just kind of see this team in the sense of repeating what they did against the Atlético San Luis too.
Yeah, I agree. Funny thing, Midwestern Cholo saying last season they played their first home game on a Friday too, and it was lost against Juarez. So I guess more narrative to add to that speculation, right, Dylan? So
if we want to win the championship, we got to lose this Friday now.
No. We already lost. So I guess the speculation goes America loses their first game of the season, and America has to play their first home game on a Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think they don't necessarily need to correlate. I think they just need to kind of fall in place. And so I think so far so good. Again, you know, not the most superstitious guy, but hey. If it works, then by all means, you know, we'll come back at the end of the season celebrating and thanking the football gods for placing placing that format in line for us. So, yeah, back to this Querétaro match. I agree. It's something similar that we're going to see like we did against Atlético San Luis. Like, we're going to have more of our starters now. Of course, Israel Reyes is back. Diego Valdez is back. I don't think he features, though. I think he comes off the bench. Chiquito Sanchez is most likely going to be starting in this one. If Igor is presented, hopefully within the next day or two, I would expect for him to kind of maybe jump back into it. I don't think he starts as a starting center back. He just came back from vacation. So it's unfortunate, Dylan, but it looks like we're going to be playing with Nestor Araujo again. So that worries me.
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
Yeah. I guess, look, we'll go with this predicting starting 11, and I guess we'll go from there. I'm going to go... Supposedly, Malagón should be good to be on the bench again, but I don't think he starts in this one. So we'll have Cota again in goal on the right. Man, I would really hope that Espinosa starts over Emilio Lara.
But
I don't think that's going to be the case. So Emilio Lara starts again. Unfortunate. Even though Israel Reyes is back, do you think it'd be better to put Israel Reyes in that center back spot instead of Nestor Araujo?
Yes. Right? I'll take it.
So I think yeah, you put Emilio Lara on because you don't want Emilio Lara at center back either. So
no.
Emilio on the right, Israel Reyes as center back, his partner, of course, Ramon, and on the left, Cristian Calderon. In the center mid, it's going to be Fidalgo with Jonathan Dos Santos. At the cam spot, I think it's going to be Chiquito Sanchez. On the right, it's going to be Javairo. On the left, it's going to be Sendejas. And up top, Mr. Henry Martin. I think that's the best on 11 you can go with, to be honest.
Wait, did you switch Javairo and Sendejas?
Yeah, so I have Javairo on the right and Sendejas on the left.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I see that. Yeah, like you said, I think that's the best starting 11 at the present time, you know, but I think, you know, if Valdez is back on the bench, I think we'll see him feature probably like 30 minutes or something, so.
Yeah, and which I hope so, because we talked about it, right? He's such an influential player for America whenever he's on the pitch and whenever he's on his A game. Like, this America side transforms to, like, prime Brazil because of him. Right. And when things happen, it's mostly because our number 10 is making them happen. So I really am hopeful that when he does come in, he can kind of regain that form that he kind of lost during the Liguilla. So,
yeah. Yeah. Which really sucked to see. But, you know, hopefully that he can turn that around.
Yeah. Bounce back for Diego Valdez. As far as what we need America to do is simply just play their game and do what they've known how to do. Look, Querétaro is by no means an easy team to play against when you're America. It seems like all these lower side teams tend to play their best. So I expect Querétaro to come out with somewhat of a vengeance. I know that they ended up losing their game against Tijuana, so they're kind of in a situation where they want to gain some points. So are they going to be very much defensive and potentially park the bus? Maybe. But then that's going to be the interesting thing is how do you break that down for America? And that's when I think I'm looking at Javairo to come step up and have a big game.
Yeah. Especially like we kind of mentioned too, you know, a bit of a stinker, especially not what you want to see from, you know, I think of what we've seen he can be, especially coming off the bench. So you really want him to step up and, you know, have the game that you know he can have, you know, take on a couple players, you know, get past a couple of them, you know, if he has the shot, shoot it. If not, you know, hopefully Henry's there, you know, can get the header in if he crosses it in.
Yeah, and look for Henry. I think, you know, get him another goal would be important to kind of continue that traction. And when Henry's hot, this team's hot as well. So,
yeah,
get him going. It'll be important. And then, really honestly, just get the win, right? As pretty as we wanted to play, I think at the end of the day, if they're able to secure those 3 points, even if it's a ugly 1-0 victory, I think we'll take the 3 points at this point because we need to build some traction. And like we mentioned, I can't stop mentioning it. It is a must-win game for America. There is no margin for error in this game. And it's crazy to think about that when you're barely in your second jornada.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and definitely, too, I think finding, you know, you're finding a good form, you know, especially should have started Saturday, but it needs to start Friday. I think I've said that a lot too. The times we talked in the last season too, whenever it came between CONCA champions and, you know, the league, you know, I've always thought we had better form in the league compared to CONCA, but, you know, now is the time to really find that, especially to find it now before you break into League's Cup, you know, because I think if you're able to build it, you know, you can carry it somewhat into League's Cup, but then if you keep playing with that intensity, that good form, then, you know, you're going to keep carrying it on into the season whenever it starts up again.
Absolutely. Traction is important. And I know a lot of people say, you know what, it's probably better to build that traction later on in the season. But we're America and we kind of have no wiggle room here, right? I keep mentioning this time and time again. This is a club that has zero excuses, that is allowed zero excuses. And you're kind of always put in a situation where you need to win and you need to play good. So, yeah. And it'll be important because, you know, it sounds like the team wants to win every competition that's thrown in front of them. And League's Cup is one of those. And you're being thrown into a knockout situation. It's not a group stage anymore. It's not where, oh, you can lose a game here or tie a game there. It's more of a, okay, you're going to have to hit the ground running when you get into League's Cup as well, or else you're going to be out and you're going to have a long, long period of time before the league resets. And you're just going to be losing valuable, valuable time and where you could be building up on your chemistry. So, yeah, all of that falls in line with this Querétaro game, and that América needs to find a result, needs to get 3 points, but most importantly, needs to start building on something. And hopefully these players can attest to that, and we see a good result, and we see a good matchup as well. So let's see what happens on Friday night at the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes. It will be interesting, like you mentioned, Dylan, how's the fan base going to turn up? How is it going to be? How are we going to find a way to make this feel our home, at least for this season, as there is talks, of course, that America will be on tour next season, maybe potentially here in the States, maybe in other stadiums. And if that does come to fruition, then I guess that's a whole different conversation as to how that's going to affect the team. But for now, let's focus on what we have ahead of ourselves, and that is Querétaro at the Ciudad de los Deportes. This game is going to be live via TUDN, so no need to worry about having to watch this on VIX. But let me just double check one more time before I officially say that out loud.
It is.
It's going to be on TUDN and Unimas. So no worries about those people who despise VIX. I know a lot of people do not like it. But yeah, that's what I got. So now let's talk predictions here. Dylan, what are you going with on Friday night?
I think I'm going to take Saturday's result, but put it in favor of America, a 2-1 win.
2-1 victory for America. I like it. Not pretty. I don't like the fact that we're conceding because I think clean sheets are important. But hey, it's like I mentioned, the importance of having a result and points is important. So 2-1. I like it. I'm going to be, for some reason, I was thinking about this game driving home and I was thinking, what is my gut telling me here? And I don't know for what reason it was telling me 3-1 America. There's nothing in these past couple of games to indicate that America can win this game 3-1. But I'm going with the fact that America can win this game 3-1 against Querétaro. It's not out of the realm of possibility, of course, because we are a much more talented side than them. Again, no discredit to them, but it's just the nature of it all. So I'm going America 3, Querétaro 1. What a more perfect way to start your weekend than with an America win on a Friday night, right?
Right, right. And if that prediction comes true, the next time you come to Texas, your Whataburger's on me.
All right. I'm there. Let's do it. I'm loving it. All right. Well, I guess I'll return the favor. If your result is right, then your in and out is on me.
No, it's okay. You can keep your in and out.
Oh, that is a debate for a whole nother podcast. But yeah, look, I'm interested to see how this game pans out, and hopefully America walks away with the 3 points, like we mentioned, very crucial and very much needed. With that said, Dylan, is there anything else you want to add on before we wrap it up here?
No, I think we've kind of covered it all. You know, I'm glad the season is back, but upset how it started, but you know, I'm just excited for what's ahead. I feel like I still have a good feeling about this season, and you know, just looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And I guess all we can say is tune in on Friday to our coverage. We'll do our best to keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. I will tell you guys this right now. There will be no full-time graphic on my end. I will be on a boat, Dylan, watching this game. Or at least in hopes of watching this game. I hope perception reaches that far out into sea. We're doing like a little Duffy boat thing, celebrating my girl's birthday. So hopefully there is signal. I'm going to be the captain of the boat. So I have the privilege of...
So you're not drinking.
Of not drinking, which means it's going to be America on front and center. So let's hope that the signal works. And yeah, hopefully we're screaming goal at the edge of the ocean.
Hopefully.
But all right, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I hope you guys had fun. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America and get you guys ready for, I believe there's a doble jornada, Dylan. So.
Oh, already?
Yeah, I think we're going up against Juarez. Let me double check that. I'm over here making claims, not even backing them up. Yes, doble jornada, but it's not against Juarez. It's against Tigres.
Oh.
On July 17th. So. Should be fun. Should be interesting. We'll see how we work around those doble jornada games. But yeah, we'll be back to talk all things Club America. With that said, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at EY Podcast. And we'll be back. Talk all things Club America. Dylan, thank you so much for making the time. It's always a blast. It's always fun to roll the years back and do this again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love it, dude. Love it. Miss it. And, you know, I just wish my schedule would comply a little bit more. But definitely love to be on, man.
It is what it is. But I know, and you know, you take the time and we love it. And I know the listeners love it too. They're so super excited. So, all right. Well, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.